This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. So these days, media savvy can be a musician's best friend, even more than your own record label. As we heard in the first half of the show with OK Go, their viral videos won them scores of new listeners but lost them the support of their label, EMI. My next guest, Graham Parker, faced a similar situation in the 70s. Dissatisfied with his label Mercury, the British-born rocker released this song, Mercury Poisoning, one of the best-known public kiss-offs in rock history. While Graham Parker's newest release, Imaginary Television, also takes its premise from rejection, when two theme songs he submitted for TV shows were turned down, he took revenge by writing an entire album of themes for non-existent TV shows. He's here today to talk about it. Graham Parker, welcome to Soundcheck.
That sounds like a funny idea, man, when the way you say it. Very good.
It sounded like a pretty funny idea when I read about it. First of all, had you written for TV before setting down this road?
No. It's my new publishing company, you know, like a new broom sweeps clean. You know, here you go, Graham, try this. They sent one of those block emails, you know, with a description of a show and the kind of song they wanted, you know, and it was the usual, we don't want it like this, but we don't want it like that, nudge, nudge. Feel free to do, you know, go with your gut, but make sure it's a little bit nudge, nudge like this, you know, and it just went on and on. I was like, these people are ridiculous, you know.
Can I just say, you sound exactly the way Damian Kulash just did when he was talking about videos in the old MTV age,
yeah,
where it had to be,
yeah,
you know, it's got to be this,
right.
Not that.
Right, yeah, there was that kind of stuff going on. But the idea of the show really piqued my interest, and I walked off and wrote a song in half an hour, just like that, you know. And then I thought, this is very catchy. And I went to a local studio and recorded it, a minute and 40 seconds. And then sent it to the publishing company and said, well, I've done this. I've made a tune. I used the engineer plays synthesized the drums on it, you know, and I played everything else myself, bass and, you know, and guitars and backing vocal, and did it in a few hours, really. Six hours, maybe, it was done.
Mm-hmm.
And the publishing company said, well, they actually liked it and they thanked you so much, they're not going to use it, though. You know, so they're going to try and use it on an episode. And I thought, well, never mind. Then they sent me another one. Publishing company sent me another one. Same kind of thing. We want it like this, but not quite like that. Go with your gut. You know, make sure it's like that. It can be an instrumental, can have lyrics. Let's say, I'm sure it must have been the same music supervisors, unless they all come up with that spiel. Probably, I don't know. Maybe there's only two of them in the business, you know,
yeah. That
do this stuff for TV shows. So again, my interest was piqued, and I just wrote a song, because the last album I had out was out in 2007, so I was about ready to write songs. I needed something to get me off the couch. You know, I don't write every day. It's something that comes along, and it's with complete dread that I begin launching into a writing
bout. For someone to give you an idea,
yeah,
a story.
It was awesome, yeah. It was great. It worked out fine. So I went into the studio and did a 40-second song, because that's all they wanted this
mm-hmm.
time. And I thought, that is as catchy as all hell, and that's it. I've nailed the subject. This is going to be it. And of course, they rejected it and used a bland, stupid instrumental. So anyway, by then, it was like, to hell with this. I'll write my own TV show treatments. So I came up with very vague ideas and wrote songs to go with it, boom, instantly. So a couple of months, I have an album's worth of material. And with one cover version, because I thought, okay, I've done enough of this, I'm fed up, you know.
Mm-hmm. How much TV can I make up
TV? So I wrote the songs, recorded the album, then I fleshed out the plots and, you know, because they were just skeletons, and put them on the album as liner notes, you know, where you would normally have lyrics.
So is the song Weather Report, what's the story here? Is it, first of all, is this one of the two originals, or is this your own TV show?
No, this is my own TV show. It's about someone who's agoraphobic, if that's the correct word, for someone who's
suffering. Can't go outside.
From agoraphobia. Yeah. For someone who's been agoraphobic for many years, and they grew up like this, and the parents, who are quite, you know, of some means, put this guy, now he's like 30 or something, into an apartment in a busy cross-section of a city, and all he does is observe the city outside, what's going on, and tries to understand what it is that's going on. You know, why are people always on these tiny cell phones? What are they bringing from the stores? And he's obsessed with the Weather Channel. He can't believe people go outside with dire forecasts such as occasional rain in the offing, you know. And then the inevitable happens.
Is this a sitcom?
Well, yeah, they're all sitcoms, really. They're all American. American cigarette. The inevitable happens as civil war breaks out between conservatives and liberals, which is inevitable, by the way. And he's watching the incredible scenes of carnage on the streets of this unnamed Midwestern town.
From the new album by Graham Parker. Can you tell me what everybody plans to do? Hey, can you tell me where everybody's going to? I'm sitting on my couch, my enthusiasm sinking. Don't know where anybody's going, I don't know where they're thinking. There seems to be some secret that everybody onto, but I just don't seem to get it, man. Not even if I want to. Say, hey, can you tell me what everybody plans to do? Graham Parker is my guest on Soundcheck. The new album is called Imaginary Television, and that's pretty much exactly what you get on this record, or Graham's theme songs for mostly imaginary TV shows. There are the two failed experiments in writing for real TV,
which I then wrote new plots for.
Oh, so they have
they
fake
are
plots
yes,
as well.
They become imaginary as well, yes.
Graham is playing tonight across the street from our studio here downtown at City Winery, 10 o'clock. It's sold out, but you can find the music on the CD called Imaginary Television. So it sounds like the ideas for the these imaginary shows came first and they triggered the songs. Is that basically the way it works?
I got an idea of like the agoraphobic or the broken skin, which you played a tiny bit of earlier introducing me then, and that was that's like a woman named Brandine, lives in Wyoming, is a forklift driver at a strip mining site. You know, that was basically it, and she has lots of conversations with her buddy who works in a bar called Strippers, you know, and that's the basis of the show. That's all I needed. Off I went and wrote a song.
So you didn't actually have to come up with full characterizations, plot lines, anything like that. Just the germ of an idea.
Just the germ of an idea, because all it is a kind of coat hanger for probably emotional stuff anyway that's real, you know.
But you have written other – I mean, you've written a novella and, you know, you've written fiction stuff. Did you find yourself wanting to follow any of these ideas and actually write a full-on story?
No, I just thought that, you know, about three or four paragraphs, which is what I wrote after the songs to flesh them out and to put on as a liner notes – was enough. I mean, you could look at that and you could definitely make a sitcom out of it. It's all there. That's all you need. All you need then is staff writers. You know.
I know you say you could make it.
Well, no,
out of it.
Actual people could. Real people. There's also fake reviews as well.
Yes. Now, is that kind of a send up of things that you might have read about your own recordings over the years?
No, it's much more Spinal Tappian than my reviews. My reviews tend to be a bit longer than that. One of them. It's a one-word review. It simply says sick from the Taipei Times, you know.
Well, you know, these days sick could be taken one of two ways.
It could indeed, yes.
That could be high praise.
It wasn't because it was about the song See Things My Way, which is about conjoined twins who form a duo called Double Trouble.
Now, that is sick.
That's not right, yes.
Graham Parker is my guest. You mentioned the song Broken Skin. We heard just a little bit of it. But here's a little bit more. This is from the album. It's called Imaginary Television by Graham Parker.
It's not surprising that you have all those wounds. They're advertising the things that you've been through. It's tantalizing to psychoanalyze. We're all downsizing what we do. Old world to pay for a break or two.
song's called Broken Skin from Graham Parker's album Imaginary Television, a series of ideas for fake TV shows that, hey, maybe some of them should be real TV shows when you see what's out there these days.
Absolutely, yes. No question.
And each of them spawning a song on this album. So that makes this almost a concept album.
It's a concept or a conceit, perhaps, one might say.
It's a conceited album by Graham Parker. Yeah. You have been in this business long enough to have seen it change from, you know, what OK Go were talking about before, where it used to be everything was to sell records.
Yeah.
Now, the record is your calling card to make money however else you're going to make it. I mean, is it touring? I mean, do you sell records now? What's the business plan now that you're independent?
They've got the right idea, those guys, definitely. Except they're much younger and newer and trendier than me. So, you know, as I was saying, I've got a show on YouTube called Sunglass Sizz. ES is in parentheses. Sunglass Sizz, the Graham Parker Show. I've done one episode. It hasn't gone viral. It's gone kind of, you know, bacterial. I think it's probably more realistic. I'm working on part two of it, though. The Sunglasses part two. I've got lots of footage in the bag, all on a tiny camera that costs $248.
And what happens in Sunglass Sizz?
Well,
Graham
I do some
show.
Skits. You know, I dress as a clown. There's me skiing, holding the camera, which is very, very exciting. And a video, my 14-year-old son helped out and filmed the video for Weather Report and Snow Gun another. And people are very entertained by it. You know, very, very small amount of people. As I said, bacterial, we're hoping for something, you know, more like a giant amoeba at any moment now. But
so you aspire to be the amoebic dysentery of the internet.
That's pretty much it, yes. More like a dysentery kind of idea. Very good. That's the kind of, you know, a sort of something gone fester, more like festering on the thumb, you know. But CD sales are not exactly where you make a living. I play solo a lot. Mm-hmm. I go around the country and play solo, and I'm playing with a band at the moment to support the album. But the record is still important to a record label if you're on someone like Bloodshot Records, who are my record label. They're a small label, and it's very important to them to sell CDs and vinyl as well. And they do. You know, they were very excited about the amount of pre-orders that my album got. So in your own small way, you can make money from selling records, but it's not a living, not for an artist. Mm-hmm. You know, for a record company with 20 acts, maybe they can survive on it, mm-hmm. you know.
But it basically is in the touring, as you say.
It's in the touring, and it's also, you know, I've got a publishing company who are getting me some placements like these smart guys in the OK Go.
Right, that's so you're licensing.
That kind of stuff. It's not huge amounts, but it's picking up a bit, you know. So mainly because of my bacterial show, I think, that's what's doing it.
So the two failed attempts to write original songs for TV have not stopped you from actually licensing stuff to TV?
Absolutely,
and like
I have a gold mine's worth of material there, my friend.
So,
or at least a tin mine.
These little things that happen on your internet show. It sounds like at least you mentioned Weather Report. It sounds like at least some of them are related to the ideas, the stories, the songs that you've come up with for this record.
Yeah, it's kind of bounced off of this whole imaginary. I might as well have an imaginary TV show as well. You know, that's all YouTube is. It's your imaginary channel. You know,
you're going to have an imaginary career if
well,
you keep
it's
up
been,
like this.
You know, it sometimes seems like that. Yes, it depends in my darkest moments.
Graham Parker is with us in our Soundcheck studio today. His latest album is called Imaginary Television. He's got a sold-out show tonight at City Winery across the street. You mentioned before that you started writing all these ideas down, then the songs that came from them, and at some point you said, basta, enough. I'm going to do a cover of someone else's stuff. Tell us about this Johnny Nash song that you've included.
Well, Johnny Nash is a guy, he's actually from Houston, Texas, and I always thought he was Jamaican because in England, growing up in England, it was around the late 60s and 70s, he was having all these hits. You'd always see him on Top of the Pops doing reggae, which was actually then called Rocksteady or mm-hmm. a Blue Beat. It was the slow version. He did Guava Jelly, the hit version of Stir It Up, the Bob Marley tune. And I found out since that he went to Jamaica, you know, back in the 60s there and met and hung out with Bob Marley. I think he produced Johnny's first album, I think. And so he got the reggae, the rock steady bug, and he was having these hits in England, and one song was called More Questions Than Answers. Of course, you know, I Can See Clearly now. Mm-hmm. You'll know that very well. But More Questions Than Answers was, I guess, top 20 in England, not a huge, massive hit. Beautiful, beautiful song. So it's a very slow, sexy, rock steady groove, but it's got country elements in. It starts off, you'd think it might be a country song coming in, because a lot of those Jamaican cats are into country music, you know. And it has a pedal steel. It's a kind of slow reggae with a pedal steel, which I transformed into a lap steel because I play lap steel a little bit on my records. And I did that, and I wrote for the liner note, I said, Johnny has his own TV treatment, presumably. Pictures in my mind will not show.
More Questions Than Answers from Johnny Nash, but this version by my guest Graham Parker. It appears on his album Imaginary Television, his latest release. And, you know, Graham, we're talking about how the industry has changed over the years, and, you know, to you, the record is still important, which, you know, is certainly an understandable thing for someone like yourself who has a record on Rolling Stone's list of the 500 greatest albums of all time. I mean, that album squeezing out Sparks, mm-hmm. 1979, I mean, that's still a classic recording. Do you feel like you're a part of the rock and roll canon because of that? Because of the things you did in the late 70s, early 80s when the record was king?
You know, I had a very lucky and good run at things with the large advances and the tour support and the two tour buses and did all that stuff. So I had a very lucky run at that. But like many artists, I don't feel that, you know, anything's happening until I've, you know, got a new product out, as it were, the new creation. It's everything kind of seems drab, really. So whatever other people make of it is fantastic. But for me, it's like, what have I just done? What is going on in my head? What's coming up? That's what refreshes you, I think, and keeps you going.
Well, what's just come up is this album called Imaginary Television. Graham Parker performing tonight at City Winery in a sold out performance at 10 o'clock. But with this long career that you've had in the music world, you know, what do you feel like you've learned that maybe, you know, the younger guys in OK Go should hear from you?
When anyone says, what advice, you know, and I say, I haven't got any advice. You know, don't take any advice would probably be more like it. I know it's bloody-minded, but, you know, if I'd taken advice, I don't think my career would have ever begun. Because, you know, when you're starting off, people don't spend the time to listen to you properly, mm-hmm. and have the time. So you might have something incredible, and people say, "Well, it's all right, but you should be a bit more like OK Go, you know, or you should be a bit more like, you know, whoever, you know." Don't listen.
Graham Parker has made a career out of listening to his own muse. It has taken him to the land of fake TV shows on his new album, Imaginary Television. Graham, a real pleasure having you on the show today.
I appreciate your time. Thank you.
That'll do it for today's show. Tomorrow, next time on Soundcheck, our series on urban noise continues with a visit from New York City's Parks Commissioner. And the Argentine composer Osvaldo Golijov previews a new recording of his Passion, or his Passion According to St. Mark. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell. Our engineer today was John Delore. The program is produced by Brian Wise and Joel Meyer with Daoud Tyler Amin. We had help today from Martin Silko. And we say goodbye today to our intern, Jasmine Little. And we have one more goodbye on the show today. Our executive producer is and has been Gisele Regatow. Today, Gisele is leaving us to take on a leadership role in the WNYC newsroom. But even though she's not going far, we're all going to miss her. In the past 4.5 years, we've gotten spoiled by her strong journalistic expertise, her sharp editorial sense, her curiosity about music. Gisele, thanks for everything, and we'll see you around the newsroom. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us for this edition of Soundcheck. Be with us next time for more. Who be your first responder? Yeah, I'm crossing a distance out of wild blue yonder. You be your first responder. I'll be your first responder. I'll be your first.